Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming up on DTNS, Niantic actually becomes a lot more like real augmented reality. HTC's former CEO makes a play for the killer VR app, and why the media stars of the future will be famous to fewer people. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, May 26, 2020 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from the ever-lit forests of Finland, I'm Patrick Beja.
Lit, but not on fire.
And I'm Roger Chang, the show's producer.
We were just talking about, we were following up on the raging controversy over Patrick's accent, or lack of, on Good Day Internet. You can hear that debate by becoming a member at patreon.com/DTNS. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Apple has fixed a bug that saw many users see massive numbers of their iOS apps update over the weekend, sometimes 50 apps or even more. The apps were updating to the exact same build as was previously installed, which caused some heads to scratch. 9to5Mac speculated that the updates appeared to be a workaround to family sharing glitches that were preventing some apps from launching with a message that it was no longer shared. Users could fix the glitch, at least temporarily, before it got fixed officially, by deleting the app that wouldn't launch and then reinstalling it.
And so it's now being fixed. Switzerland launched its Swiss COVID contact tracing app, the first to launch using Apple and Google's exposure notification API. Swiss COVID is being piloted among hospitals, key workers, civil servants, and the army. Public availability is expected mid-June. Meanwhile, India announced it will release the source code of its contact tracing app, which launched in early April. The Android app's source code will be published on GitHub. A bug bounty program for the app was also announced.
Chinese smartphone maker Realme announced the Realme X3 Super Zoom phone. And interestingly, it's going to launch in Spain and the UK first. Realme normally launches their phones in India. The X3 Super Zoom has a periscope telephoto lens for 5x zoom and 120 hertz refresh rate on an HD LCD screen. Pre-orders start today at €499, coming June 4th. Realme also announced a smartwatch, a TV, wireless earbuds, and a power bank, all of those coming to India in June.
HP announced a new line of Elite books running on Intel Core and AMD Ryzen Pro 4000 series processors. The 1030 G7 and 1040 G7 convertibles both have options for 5G data, and the 1040 G7 claims 29 hours of battery life.
Google's support for rich communication service, or RCS messaging, on Android will now come to all T-Mobile US Android users. T-Mobile offered RCS to some users, but on different standard than Google. T-Mobile is now adapting the Universal Profile 1.0 interconnect used by Google, which can work across networks. T-Mobile is part of the CCMI initiative, along with Verizon and AT&T, which announced plans for an RCS cross-carrier app last October.
Facebook released a voice call app called Catch Up. It's an experimental thing for coordinating calls of up to 8 friends. Your contacts show a ready-to-talk icon when they're available, so you know it's time to start the call. And if you're late, showing of in-progress calls will let you join.
Spotify has lifted the 10,000 song limit on the number of songs that you can save to your library. While Spotify has 50 million songs, up until now you had a limit on how many you could save to your music. Spotify previously resisted raising the limit because it said fewer than 1% of its customers even got to that limit. Individual playlists and the number of songs that you can download for offline listening are still limited to 10,000.
Facebook's Libra wallet, Calibra, has been rebranded to Novi and has been redesigned as a standalone app with interoperability with Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp. Novi didn't give details on what standard transaction fees might be if this ever gets off the ground, and all Novi customers will need to be verified using a government-issued ID. Novi will now be operated by a new Facebook subsidiary called Novi Financial that will operate independently of the rest of Facebook. All right, let's talk a little bit more about reality, Patrick.
a form of reality that might be alternate. Niantic will add a new feature it calls reality blending to Pokemon Go next month. The augmented reality feature known as occlusion will let creatures hide partially or entirely behind real-world objects like trees and furniture. Niantic first demonstrated its occlusion technology with a Pikachu video almost 2 years ago. Pokemon Go is also getting crowdsourced mapping function similar to Ingress's portal scanning. Pokestop scanning will let max-level players record a stream of images at Pokestops and gyms to help improve 3D maps. Niantic says faces and license plates are blurred, and it does not store any personal data in connection to contributions. Niantic says the feature will come first to Samsung Galaxy S9 and S10 devices, as well as the Google Pixel 3 and Pixel 4.
So when Pokemon Go first launched, everybody called it augmented reality, and people started to get, you know, upset that, well, it's not really augmented reality. It just superimposes a creature in the world. It doesn't really know where the location is. And slowly Niantic has been improving that and adding more actual augmented reality functions. This would be the biggest step forward in that. And would be really fun if, you know, your creatures are hiding behind a chair and you have to kind of move around to find them. It makes the game more challenging.
I have to admit I'm not a big Pokemon Go player, but my impression was that augmented reality was kind of a novelty in the gameplay loop, and people who were serious about playing it didn't really use it all that much. But maybe this will change that, and maybe it won't. But it doesn't seem like it has a huge amount of gameplay value.
I'm not a Pokemon Go player either at all. I was briefly, you know, kind of when a lot of people picked it up for a few months and then put it back down. But it was cool and it was fun. And the idea of this type of true augmented reality coming to apps that I would use. I mean, I'm not going to be like rearranging my home every day, but something where I might be able to mix and match something that's really in my living room with something that's virtually in my living room. And it would be a little bit more seamless than the kinds of tools I have for that now. I can see where gameplay is one aspect of this, but just better AR apps in general are another.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to see how different outlets chose to slant this different ways. Some focused on what we're focusing on here, the gameplay and the augmented reality portion of it, and others focused solely on what you said about letting people stream images and capture and improve the maps and any privacy implications that may or may not have. Sounds like Niantic addressed those privacy concerns in the announcement, so as long as they follow through on that, I guess it'll be fine.
Well, future phones will get better battery life and more powerful CPUs and also GPUs. ARM, which licenses its designs to Qualcomm, Apple, Samsung, Huawei, you know, the big guys, announced the Cortex A78 CPU and the Mali G78 GPU. ARM says that the Cortex A78 CPU core design offers a 20% increase in sustained performance and stays within a 1-watt power budget. A new Cortex X custom program will let partners create their own specialized Cortex CPU. The Mali G78 GPU supports up to 24 cores for a promised 25% increase in graphics performance. I mean, it's ARM promising it, but, you know, it's good. ARM also announced the Ethos N78 neural processing unit with up to 25% improved performance efficiency over the Ethos N77, its predecessor.
Yeah, we don't usually get as much attention on the ARM updates, but as phones are becoming the predominant computing device that people use, people are paying more and more attention to that and wanting to know, like, you know, when these ARM designs show up in chips, which will probably be later this year, which means probably not till 2021 will you see a lot of phones with chips on this ARM design. Will I be getting better graphics? Will I be getting better CPU? Will I be getting better battery life? So a lot of good claims, a lot of good promises here from these ARM designs. It'll be a while before we get to live with them ourselves.
But I mean, 25% increase in graphics performance, I'm guessing, compared to the previous generation of GPUs, it is pretty massive. And we're already getting some very impressive graphics on mobile platforms and ARM MPUs, I guess, or CPUs and GPUs. This is a lot. And we're getting this year a bump in graphical fidelity with the release of the new generation of consoles, which will allow PCs to then get to get into the race again, because the bar will have been raised for everyone. So PCs will increase their efforts, let's say. But it seems like even with the power constraints of mobile platforms, ARM is following through on graphics performance on mobile platforms. It's very impressive.
And there's aspects of this that will be interesting for those trying to use ARM designs and server chips as well, with that kind of performance update. That's a really good point as well. All right, pay attention to this one. Might end up not being anything, but it has the feelings to me of something notable that we'll look back and go, oh, I remember when that was new. Former HTC CEO Peter Chow's startup XR Space has unveiled its 5G-capable VR headset, the XR Space Mova. Now, the Mova itself as a piece of hardware is interesting. It's powered by Qualcomm's Snapdragon 845 chipset, has a beefy 6 gigs of RAM, which is a couple more than what you get in the Oculus, 4,600 milliamp hour battery, 2880 by 1440 display panel with a 90 hertz refresh rate and 702 DPI pixel density. Nice display. They're not saying what the field of view is, which makes me think it might not be that impressive. And it's meant to be controlled with hand tracking, though it will ship with a single controller. They have cameras on the front of the headset to do that hand tracking. And the hand tracking supposedly will enable things like shaking hands, giving high fives, you know, things you can't do in real life right now, grabbing and throwing objects. It can track enough of your legs, too, with those front-facing cameras to let you play a simple soccer game, as well as make your avatar full body. Remember, we talked about the avatars being cut off at the waist in previous software we've talked about, not in the Mova system. And here's Mova's big differentiator. It's the social space, Manova, which hopefully they'll change that name, I think. You can meet people in Manova in private areas. You can watch videos, play mini games, all that kind of stuff. You can also space scan with your camera, your actual room, and make that a virtual room in Manova. There's also public spaces, so parks, beaches, nightclubs, cinemas, all those things that Neal Stephenson and other novels have promised. Other public spaces will come from furniture stores, realtors. They have Vogue and GQ on board. They have a Taiwanese baseball team on board, so you can go to a virtual baseball game. 4 institutes in Taiwan are on board to use Manova for remote learning. It's listed at $599, so not cheap, not ridiculous expensive, but not cheap by any stretch, and will come to Taiwan with Chunghwa Telecom and Europe with Deutsche Telekom. We don't know when. The reason I think this is notable is that the hardware is nice. It's supposedly lighter than the HTC Vive. But it's that focus on, we want to get the social aspect of this right. And if they do, that's the big if. But if they do, I think that could be the thing that makes VR take off. Like, oh, I'm an avatar that feels like me, and I can virtually get together with people in a way that feels more reality. That's been the promise of VR, and it's always kind of fallen short.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. With the Oculus Quest, which I'm currently still in my review period for my next Live With It segment. As much as I really like this, and I know some other people who have Quests or who at least are into VR enough that they care what I have to say or, you know, want to hear my experiences, it feels very solitary. It's like, okay, I'm going to go away from Earth for a little while and do my thing and then come back and talk to whoever will listen about it with me, or maybe nobody. And the idea that I would be going to hang out with real people that I know, the way that social networks work now, in some sort of, you know, reality that adds some more dimensions and some more games and makes, I don't know, the idea of a chat room different yet the same is really exciting. And I think that they're onto something with this. And the idea that the headset itself is lighter and thinner and has nice specs does not hurt either.
This is a pipe dream, and it will never work that way. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I think it's the kind of thing where with every new piece of technology, we try to imagine a replication of what we already know, but the actual use cases for this new technology are different from what we already know. And I don't think we'll find many examples of that reimagining actually working. I get mad Second Life vibes from this, which Second Life was super hyped, got a lot of attention, a lot of investment from brands and companies, but it was more hype than reality. People didn't use it in that way. And when the hype died, it died with it. I'm also reminded of, this is a little bit of a different topic, but when we first started getting mechanical things at home, people thought that we would have carrot graters at home to make grated carrots. And we do, but more likely you will buy carrots already grated from the factory, from the store. And this is, when you think about the use for new technology, you think of it as in terms of what you already know. I think this is what is happening there. And I don't know. We'll see. But it does. I would put my money on it not working out.
You're right that that's always the hurdle. What gets you over the hurdle is enough people being interested in that possibly incorrect use, like Twitter. Twitter was meant to allow you to send short messages to each other over text message easier and share them with more people. That's not what we use it for, but enough people were interested and went through the gates that they started to figure out those other uses. And so that's what I'm curious if Manova can overcome, is to say, look, all these other things, Second Life, Facebook, social rooms, they're all weird. They all require a little too much imagination. Whereas if they can nail the appeal of this, that will cause a lot more people to dive in and try it, in which case then they might find out the other uses. It's a lot of ifs, trust me. And you may be right, Patrick.
That's a lot of ifs.
But it does, I don't know, it does have the flavor of something that's worth paying attention to and might have a better chance of overcoming those ifs than a lot of other things we've seen. Because they're paying attention to some of those barriers, like, yeah, but it's only half of me, or the yeah, but it doesn't feel like me. They're focusing on solving that problem. That's the right problem to try to solve, whether they solve it or not. That's the question.
Mm. I'll agree. I'll definitely agree that this is how you find the actual use of the technology, is by getting enough people to give it a try and see what works and what doesn't.
Google has launched a limited pilot to use Google Assistant's voice match to secure restaurant orders and purchases that are made through Google Play. Users in the limited rollout will see the option in Google Assistant settings to confirm purchases with voice match. Google warns during setup that somebody with a similar voice or recording may be able to confirm purchases on the devices you're logged into. So it's well aware of the first thing that someone's going to say, this is a bad idea. Google told Android Police that the feature has a limit on how much money can be spent as well.
Yeah, this is a convenience, not security. This is like, I'm so tired of having to say that PIN every time, or having to use something, or having to go pick up my phone and press a thumbprint. I don't mind giving up a little security because I don't have an evil twin and nobody's breaking into my house to play recordings of me. I'm not worried about that. I just wanted to use my voice to confirm that it's me, not someone else in the household. So, I mean, I think that's what it's for. Is it secure? No, it's not. But in some situations, convenience can trump security rationally. And I think that's what this is for.
This reminds me of contactless payments with credit cards, which security-minded people were going crazy about because of the security flaws. And I thought would be kind of a insignificant improvement. I can't live without it now. It is, well, maybe because of the pandemic, literally contactless is better.
Yeah, right.
But it's just so convenient. I don't mind the security issue. And this sounds a little bit like that.
As long as you're aware, as long as you go in eyes wide open on this stuff, I think it's fine. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
The New York Times' Ben Smith has an article called "The New Model Media Star is Famous Only to You," to which I add mom. No, it's focusing on a service called Cameo that lets you buy short custom videos from celebrities. So Smith himself used it to get retired New York Giants defensive lineman Leonard Marshall to convince his dad to stop taking the subway into Manhattan during the pandemic. $75. Got an Olympic triathlete to give his daughter a pep talk. $15. A message from a former Boston Red Sox manager for his boss cost $100. And he got Chuck Norris to make a joke that he put on Twitter for $230. Cameo is seeing a boom. During the lockdown, bookings have grown from 9,000 in early January to 70,000. And Ben Smith identifies this as part of a larger trend towards gig work for mid-level celebrities. Lee Jin, a former partner at the venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz, calls it the passion economy. So examples are small merchants on Shopify making cool things that are really popular to a certain set of people but would never play in massive chains of retail stores. Instructors on Udemy finding a group of people passionate about the thing that they know how to teach, even if there's not a massive availability of it. Musicians on Patreon. Podcasters on Patreon, writers with paid newsletters on Substack. He cites Emily Aitken, former New Republic reporter, who's made $175,000 this year with just 2,500 subscribers. So Ben Smith goes through all of this. He talks about how these are people finding their niche. Maybe they were big celebrities that aren't as big anymore. Maybe they were never big celebrities, but they are celebrities within their expertise. Smith asks, is this good news? The rise of these new companies could further shake our faltering institutions, splinter our fragmented media, and cement celebrity culture, or they could pay for a new wave of powerful independent voices and offer steady work for people doing valuable work. Now, Patrick, I know you brought this into the show today. Do you have a thought on how to answer Smith's question? Is this good news?
I would say to his two proposed scenarios, why not both? Obviously, it seems like both are plausible, and I don't think it will have to choose. I will say, however, that the first part of his proposition is addressing content and the way fragmented media helps maybe disinformation and things like that. This is already happening. What is not happening as much, or has only just started happening, is people being able to monetize a smaller audience. And of course, I think we are the forefront of this with Patreon. But these are other ways, and Cameo is a really interesting one, of making that happen. So I think overall, I would say it is a good thing because it enables the good content to be monetized through another way than just advertisement, which traditionally favors quantity, I would say, over quality.
You know, Cameo, I'm familiar with for a couple of years now because it happens to be something that somebody secret-santed to me a couple of years ago. There was a particular reality show, doesn't matter which one, but there was a certain person on this reality show who sent me like a Merry Christmas note, and my friend paid for it on Cameo, and I got it and I lost my mind. You know, I was like, how did you do this? This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You know, that was very ha-ha novelty kind of thing. I know that the kind of some celebrity that Sarah might care about for whatever reason, maybe it's silly, maybe it means something to me, but isn't necessarily a huge part of pop culture. This is perfect for that. There's also an element of some of the celebrities just kind of sitting around, like waiting to get little gigs kind of thing. And I think like, okay, well, if that were me, do I have a problem with it? Maybe not. It depends on, you know, the kind of, I don't know, your portrayal of yourself in the first place. So this whole idea of maybe somebody who's semi-retired or maybe in a sort of bridge area of their career where they're transitioning into other things, but people still really like them. I think that's great. I think that part is great. I also know that there were a lot of Tiger King cameos that I saw recently. And, you know, that was, it was what it was.
I think initially it might seem a little bit demeaning for someone who was a celebrity, and maybe we're thinking of it as, you know, in terms of, oh, they were in a movie or they were on TV, which was, you know, so cool. And so right, it's like, oh, right, now they have to sit around waiting for Cameo orders to be paid, like, and they make $50 per message. Well, first of all, those messages take about 2 minutes to make. $50 for 2 minutes of your time isn't, you know, if you get
a
dozen a day or, you know, whatever, it's a good rate. And second of all, it is, the article dives into that very well. It is about catering to smaller audiences and distributing the revenue to people who didn't get it before. Because those semi-retired people, they were just sitting in their home, fading it to ignorance. And at least now they have or maybe they would go to small conventions dedicated to what they were doing. Now they have another way of connecting with people, another way, which is not just Twitter, where people yell at everyone, but that gets monetized. I think that's valuable.
Yeah, because it's not that they're sitting around and they're like, Cameo, that's my new career. I'm just going to sit here until I get a request, right? This is a part of what they do. I imagine Leonard Marshall, defensive lineman, doesn't get a lot of speaking engagements. Maybe he does, but he's certainly not going to be in demand like a quarterback would have been. So this is nice supplemental income for him. And puts him in touch with people who are like, yeah, I was a fan of that thing that not that many other people are a fan of, but me and my friend or me and my family are, you know, and I can think of smaller TV shows where, you know, secondary characters they have to work hard. They don't get to coast through like a Brad Pitt. They have to keep finding work. And so a little bit of supplemental income like this works. But also, it's not just TV and movie celebrities. It's also, Ben Thompson, Stratechery, like being able to say, like, look, I have a number of people who really like what I have to say and are willing to pay me for it. And I'm going to keep doing that really well. And like this woman, Emily Aiken, making $175,000 a year from 2,500 subscribers. Now, you have to be talented and you have to cultivate that audience. But you don't have to be a hit TV show star to make that happen. I think that's really interesting. Don't forget that we offer voicemail recordings from Sarah, Roger, and I on our Patreon.
Well, I was okay. So right? I was like, yeah. And that was the first thing that I thought of is, would I ever have an issue getting, some residual income from something like this? Doing so, like, if enough people were like, we really like your voicemails, not that you guys wouldn't want it, but, again, Tom and Roger and I do this on occasion. I mean, what if lots of people wanted it and you were like, okay, this is a thing people want. Yeah. This is something that I can give you. If you feel good about it, great.
Well, I actually, just to finish up, I actually used Bonjoro, which is an app that lets you send very short, exactly similar, but for free. I was sending messages to every new patron I would get on the Rendezvous Tech. I did it for a couple of months. It was really fun. I ended up being overwhelmed with the pandemic when it started, so I stopped. But it's so easy to do if the app is well done. And it's actually pretty fun. And that is another way of connecting with your audiences, which is valuable.
Stealth Dave in our Twitch chat has the question that we will finish on. Can anyone get a cameo by Cameo? The musical artist.
Yes, but it costs infinite dollars. So that loop is
broken. Let us know if you get one.
I'm pretty sure someone's already tried. Yes, but please let us know. That would be great. And my mind would be blown again. Hey, thanks everybody who participates in our subreddit. It's also a great place for people to connect with each other. Doesn't matter if you're a celebrity or not. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com.
Let's check out the mailbag.
Oh, let's. We got a really, really, really nice email titled GDI Banter, Much Appreciated. This came in from David, who said, I was having a really crappy day this weekend. I tuned in, admittedly, an archaic phrase. We know what you mean, though, David. To hear GDI from Friday, and it really lifted my spirits. Thank you. Hope you guys know you provide more than just tech news.
Thank you, David. Glad to hear that. Very, very glad to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, everybody's got a bad day. So, hey, we're all in this together, right? Shout out to patrons at our master and grandmaster levels, including Justin Zellers, Tim Deputy, and Tony Glass. Also, thanks to Patrick Beja. Patrick, it's been a crazy week for you. What's been going on?
Insanity. That's what's been going on. Hey, you know what? You work from home, right? Probably, maybe, you work from home. And if you do, you might have issues that you want solved about working from home. You know who has been working from home for a long time? Tom Merritt and myself. And wonderful coincidence, we have a new show about how to better work from home and keep your sanity when you're doing so. What's the name of that show, you might ask? Work Insanity. It's a wonderful pun. I'm very proud of it. You can get the show on your podcast app. Just look for Work Insanity or go to workinsanity.net. It will redirect you. 15 minutes every Monday. It's very quick. You can't really afford not to listen. So go check out Work Insanity.
I 100% agree with everything Patrick just said. No, it's really, really been fun putting this together with Patrick. And so I'm so proud that people get to actually see it at workinsanity.net. You can always support our show at any level at dailytechnewsshow.com/Patreon. And we appreciate you doing so. The advertising dollars out there aren't that great right now, but we don't care because we've got you. Appreciate that.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. You got something on your mind? Send it there. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Dr. Morrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club. hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.